This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou katoa, kua huhi mai nei, mō tēnei whaikōrero o tātou. My name is Peter Barron, and I am the radio pharmacist, and I'm here on OAR 105.4 FM every week. Over the next half hour, we will talk about how and why and when to use medicines and other matters concerning your health. If you missed the show or wish to listen to today's show or previous shows, these are available on podcast. I'm always happy to talk about any specific issues or questions that you have, and you can contact me at The Radio Pharmacist on Facebook or on my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. Nō reira, nō mai, haere mai, and let's get started. Kia ora koutou katoa. Ko tēnei huihuina o tātou, mō te wiki o te reo Māori. So welcome everybody. Excuse me. It's great to be back. It's an auspicious day to start again today as we celebrate Māori Language Week this week. And at 12 noon today, the Māori Language Commission are hoping that we're going to have a million Kiwis speaking te reo Māori. So I'm going to devote my whole show today to te reo. I'm going to hopefully help introduce some concepts if you're not a Māori speaker or you want to be a Māori speaker. I'm going to focus a little bit on health matters, but let's just take it where we can. So I regard myself as very privileged. I grew up, as I think probably most of you know, I grew up in Southland. It's a very, outwardly, a very very Pākehā community, a very white community. And then I was fortunate, after I graduated from university, while I was doing a tiki tour. See how we use these words? I mean, we all use words like tiki tour. I think we all understand that. I was doing a trip around New Zealand, and I happened to get to a place called Tokomaru Bay, which is about 100 kilometres north of Gisborne. And I had the address of somebody there, and it was a lady called Noi Pewhairangi, and a lady that I came to know as Auntie Noi, and a lady who some of you may know. You're probably familiar with Poye from the Pātea Māori group. Now, that song was co-authored by Delvanius Prime and Noi Pewhairangi. So I was very privileged to end up in a community in Ngāti Porou. So that's the people, the tribe that sort of extend from Gisborne round through East Cape and round through to Whanauapanui at Te Kaha. And the particular, so Ngāti Porou are the tribe, and the particular iwi at Tokomaru Bay are te whanau o Ruatopari. So that's the family of Ruatopari. Ruatopari was one of the high chieftainesses, and she married a guy from Te Kaha, or from Whanauapanui, called Te Whakaiuriora. So, as I said, I was very privileged as a much younger man to get deeply immersed in the community at Tokomaru Bay. And I've gone on to, I was shown many things, exposed to many things that probably many of us haven't been exposed to. One of the things that always surprises me is that when we live in a country where Māori, along with English and along with New Zealand Sign Language, is an official language, and I see decreasingly, but I still see a lot of negative comment on social media and people reacting in the paper, etc., to the fact that we are using the language. We're using te reo Māori in our day-to-day conversation. And that's got to be very good. It's part of our identity. if you've ever lived overseas, I don't think there's a Kiwi that when we see the haka or we see our team at the Olympics who doesn't identify with some part of our Māori heritage. It's something that we should be proud of. It's something that's part of us. It's something that we're part of. And it's these important concepts of inclusion. It's how we feel about ourselves. We hear people talking about whakapapa. We talk about genealogy. I have some people in my own family who sort of say, well, what does it really matter? But I know in terms of my ancestry, where I know where my ancestry goes back to, or part of it. I don't know all of it, because I did discover that my father had been adopted, and we've got a little bit of a dead end there. We're trying to find that. But at least I know on my mum's side that we go back to Scotland. We're part of the Chisholm clan, and I can identify with that. I'm very proud of that. I know what that genealogy goes back to. I know where it goes back to, and it's what makes me a person. I don't run around sort of saying, oh, look, I'm Scottish or I'm Irish or I'm English. But it's who I am. It's what I stand on. And I know that. And so in terms of te reo Māori, the Māori language, te ao Māori, the world of the Māori, it's fundamentally important. I don't know how many of you have ever been on a marae. If you haven't been on a marae, I strongly suggest you take that opportunity because it will probably change your life. I've been fortunate to live in many cultures. I've lived in New Zealand. I've lived in cultures within New Zealand. I've brought up very Pākehā. I've been fortunate. I've spent a lot of my adult life in Māori communities. But I've also lived in Papua New Guinea. I've lived in Vanuatu. I've lived in Thailand. And the three things that to me are always really important. We don't have to know each other's cultures. We're probably going to feel uncomfortable when we're in somebody else's cultures. But we all have those three human things. We have our ears, so we can listen. The Māori word is whakarongo, so we can listen. Listen to what people say. We've got our eyes that we can look, so titero, look. And then we've got that thing beating inside us, our nako, our heart, our aroha, the types of feelings that we have. If you've got those, we've all got those attributes as human beings. And if we just concentrate on those things, if we concentrate on listening, whakarongo, if we concentrate on looking, titero, and we concentrate on feeling, aroha, nako, those types of things, then it takes us a lot of places. So as I said, if you've never been on a marae, take the opportunity. I know within my own family that there were some really significant cultural barriers. I know that when my parents first came to visit me in Tokomaru Bay, they were used to the Southland conventions where you didn't go into somebody else's home, or you didn't go to a funeral or a tangihanga, or you didn't go to a wedding, or you didn't go to a birthday unless you had a specific invitation. And I tell you what, it caused a fair bit of stress between me and my parents, because by the time that they came to visit me in Tokomaru Bay, I was the pharmacist in Tokomaru Bay. So that was a privileged position. I was the only health professional based in a small community of 600 or 700 people. And so that came with some obligations and it came with some rights. And one of those obligations was within many cultures, seniority is very respected. So your parents are very respected. They're the reason that you're there. And my mum and dad had real difficulty understanding as to how they could be taken to, you know, these environments onto the marae without having an invitation or having been there. And I had a lot of difficulty explaining to them. And at the end of the day, I couldn't explain it to them. I had to get one of my friends to explain to them that it was an expectation that I would take my parents to the marae. One of the fortunate things that happened, this lady that I'm talking about, this lady I call Auntie Noi, Auntie Noi Pewhairangi, she was a most amazing person. You could go and sit around her dinner table and there'd be prime ministers there, there'd be governor generals, there'd be leaders of the church, there'd be cabinet ministers. The very first time I knocked on her door, and there's this tall, skinny Pākehā fellow came on a bike, and she said, "Who are you?" I told her who I was. She said, "Would you like a cup of tea?" I said, "I'd love one." She said, "Well, make me one too." And what I thought was going to be a one-night stop in that little town, that little settlement on the east coast of the North Island, I ended up staying for about 6 weeks. I ended up getting talked into buying the farm, so I ended up going back there and living there for quite some time before I moved overseas. And in that time, I was introduced to lots of experiences that I'd never had. So I said, don't wait for the invitation. If you've got any sense of curiosity, any sense of humanity, then don't wait to be invited to the marae. Go to the marae or make contact with somebody and say, look, please, I would like to understand more about this. So, look, in the spirit of what we're saying, let's go and join Howard Morrison for this very famous song.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the roar. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Oh God, Mata whakapono, mata tumanako me te aroha. Oe nei taonga, te mea nui, o te aroha. Ladies and gentlemen, the three most important things in life, faith, hope, and love. It is with my love that I thank you all for sharing this night with me.
folks, that was the late, great Sir Howard Morrison. So, Nordita, let's carry on with the conversation that we're having. And I'm going to focus a little bit on some health-related issues in very broad sense. So, if we don't use too much rongoa Māori. So rongoa Māori is Māori, traditional Māori medicines, and there's some very effective medicines out there. If you're interested, go and have a look at some of the, go online and have a look and look under rongoa, which is the Māori medicine. So let's talk, I do want to talk about sort of some cultural practices in terms of things which I think are fairly common, like, there's, we tend not to like to sit on tables. Now, within Te Ao Māori, seats are for backsides and bums, tables aren't. And it's just something that we really need to be aware of. We can cause huge offence by doing something like sitting on a table where food is going to be eaten. And it's all to do with the concept of tapu and noa. And they're very difficult concepts to explain in English. I mean, we could talk about taboos, etc., but tapu has a particular characteristic to it. Noa is the opposite of tapu. So noa is when it's made ordinary. And that you may have noticed if you've been to a tangihanga or if you go to an urapā, to a cemetery. Anytime I go into a cemetery, I always sprinkle myself with water when I come out. Now, that's because I want to make myself noa. I want to remove any sense of tapu. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to remove any sense of risk. It's not about my belief system, but it's about the people who are around me. And I know that I'm going to interact with people who are Māori and who will feel, you might find this difficult, but who will feel that I haven't done something. So I'm always very careful that any time that I'm around, I go to urapā or I'm at a funeral or a tangi, I will sprinkle myself with water. It's fairly universal. It's not just in Māori culture. It's in many, many cultures, certainly many of the Asian cultures. And as I said, if I was to take a Eurocentric or Pākehā-centric point of view, we don't mix our bodily waste with our foods. We separate them. We're careful about that. And very often in the healthcare arena, we have to be particularly careful. I know in the hospital situation, very often where the hospital is having to collect laboratory samples, etc., for analysis, and particularly for a lot of older people, a lot of the pakiki, the older people in Māori, older Māori people, and the same with other Polynesian people and indeed many Asian people. If you put those bodily fluids, etc., on the same table as where food's going to be, I would personally object to that. I would be very offended if somebody was to walk into my hospital room or into my home and they were to put a pot of human excrement, etc., on the food table. I'd be very offended, and so we shouldn't be surprised that these are things that we need to avoid. And as I said, this is the sense of tapu and noa. Some of the words we're encouraging everybody to use some Māori words, some greetings, something simple like kia ora. And there can be all sorts of things that go that's greetings, hi. You can say ki te pihia koi. That's the formal way of saying, how are you? But if it's two people, ki te pihia korua. Or if it's three people or more, ki te pihia koutou. There'll be dialectal differences. There's dialectal differences between the te reo that's used in the South Island and the te reo that's used in various parts of the North Island. For instance, I learned and I've lived amongst Ngāti Porou. So when we're greeting, we generally won't say kei te pihia koi, we'll say kei te aha, and we'll often cut it down. Now, literally, kei te aha koi means what are you doing? But within Ngāti Porou dialect, kei te aha koi means how are you? So, and that'll often get shorted down. We'll just have fluent speakers will say, kei te aha. And then you can reply, kei te pai, I'm good. Or, Te no nui te pai, I'm very good. So these are the qualifying words. When you're on the marae, when you first go to the marae, that you the people from that area, the people who that home belongs to, they are the tangata whenua. So they're the people of that place, the tangata whenua. So in the whole concept of New Zealand, the whole Maori group of people are tangata whenua. And we come as manuhiri, so the people who are the visitors come as manuhiri. And if it's the first time you go there, you have a particular status. Your particular status is your waiwai tapu. So waiwai is feet, and tapu, so your sacred feet, if you like to think about it. And that's the first time you step onto the marae. The only time you're going to be waiwai tapu is the very first time you go to that place. After you've come to that place and then you're greeted, then you become, at least for the time that you're there, in a sense, the tangata whenua. And then when you leave again, you'll be farewelled. And so there's this process, and a lot of people get very upset about the greeting processes and who does the greeting. Why is it just the men who speak? It's not just men who speak. In some parts of the country, particularly Ngāti Porou, women will speak on occasion, the same in Whanauapanui, which is the next group round towards Opotiki. But there's a more pragmatic reason, because within Tau Māori, there's the belief that you have to protect the tribe, you have to protect the birthright, you have to protect the woman. And the last thing you want to do is you don't want to expose the woman who, after all, carry the future of the tribe to danger. So in many ways, that's why it's the realm of the men to stand and greet you. And then the last thing that always happens in that is the ranganga, the shaking the hand, and the hongi. Now the hongi, although in these days of corona, which we call mati corona, so that's a corona sickness, we're not encouraging people to hongi, which causes huge difficulty for people. But the purpose of the hongi is the pressing of the nose and to share the breath, so that we share the life that's within us. So, folks, look, this is. I hope you've enjoyed that. I hope that if you're listening to this at the moment, you stand and turn to the person beside you and say, "Kia ora, greetings, kei te pai koe. How are you today?" And they're going to say, "I'm kei te pai." So let's go out. I've really enjoyed being here with you today. Let's go out with the Pātea Māori Club and Poie. So until next week, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.